Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you all, under the June gloom. Ladies, a new perspective, not a new perspective, a more precise perspective on how you can determine where you are in the health pendulum. Every year, you get your physical exam. Every year, hopefully, you go to your OBG, and you have the pap smear, and you have them check you for fibroids, for cystic ovaries, for endometriosis, for so on and so forth. And while I think this is a very important thing for you to do, premenopausal, postmenopausal, young women concerned about being pregnant, concerned about having healthy children, there's an indice, there's a signal your body gives you every single month that we tend to overlook, because as always, it's right in front of our nose. And that signal is your monthly cycle. And ladies, if you're not having one, this still includes you. How you bleed every 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 days, or how you don't bleed, how much you bleed, how thick that blood is, what is your fertility experience every single month? And again, if you're not having your period, if you're postmenopausal, please keep in mind, you're still having your cycle. You're just not bleeding. So young, old, new, doesn't matter. Listen up to this show today. Because by the end of the show, what I want to leave you with is a deeper respect for your monthly cycle. Your hormonal cycles can tell you so much about where you're going with your health long before you get there. When you see uterine cancer, when you see cervical cancer, when you see breast cancer, when you see any cancer, any disease that anybody's going to attach to hormonal imbalance, the signs of this hormonal imbalance are all over the place long before you ever see the disease or the symptom. So in a better world, Medici's better world, high school girls would learn about their monthly cycle. Now, we've swung so far away from that I've told you stories before. I'll reiterate one. I was in a store one day talking to the owner of the store, who I had known for years. She's a very nice Korean woman whose daughter was in bad shape because she'd gotten married and couldn't get pregnant. And she'd been here and there and everywhere and trying to get a grip on the fact that, you know, she wanted that firstborn healthy and quick and continually couldn't get pregnant at 20. And I spoke to this woman for a while, and then finally she revealed to me that her daughter had endometriosis. And I looked at her, and I didn't see what I was supposed to see in her mother's face, which is, yeah, that's what's causing it, or that's significant, or that might have a reason why she can't get pregnant. And much to my shock, what I found out is the woman knew her daughter had endometriosis, as her daughter knew she had endometriosis, but because so many of her friends had endometriosis, it didn't seem like that could possibly relate to the pregnancy issue. This is not a stupid woman. This was a smart, entrepreneurial, small business owner who had done very well in her chosen field. Now, how far we've come, young ladies, middle-aged women, older women, unnecessary hysterectomies, signs all over the place that uterine or cervical cancer is on the way. when all you have to do is demand perfection from your monthly period. Now, what's perfection? We're going to start here. We're going to start with the perfect cycle. The perfect cycle does not hurt. That means you don't get cramps. You don't get irritability. You don't get back pain. You don't get mood swings. You don't get anything except the pleasure of releasing that blood. And how much blood? Well, not buckets, not enough to make you tired, not enough to make you anemic. 3 days, 2 days. That's right, not 4 or 5 days. Again, your common sense meter. Ladies, remember as you approached menopause, how you started dumping buckets of blood? A sure sign that that life's change was leaving you sort of a little weaker than you were in your 30s and 40s. In Chinese medicine, as a woman dumps larger amounts of blood, that signals an imbalance. It signals a growing weakness. And there's all sorts of words in Chinese medicine to describe that, but it's no different in any holistic medicine from any continent, from any age. Of course, in our day and age, it's just considered, well, that's what happens. No, it shouldn't happen, although it does. And just because it does with everybody, that doesn't mean it's normal or healthy. And this is the thing. You reference your health to your girlfriend, to your neighbor, to your sister, to your mom, so on and so forth. And of course, this is the great trap. So first, you bleed 3 days, even 2 days. You don't bleed 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. You don't get tired. You don't get clotty. Clotty. When the blood clots, it's a signal. And after you bleed, you're back to new. And after you bleed, you begin to fill your uterus with estrogen, or rather have estrogen thicken the uterus lining, because now you're getting prepared, theoretically, right, for your second implantation. So that female cycle is a balance of hormone, a very complicated balance of hormone, a balance of hormone that I think even at this point we barely understand. Now, I'm going to talk about hormonal balance today, only so in the end you can have a deeper insight into doing what, even if you understand nothing about hormonal balance, you have to do, which is measure your health on the basis of your cycle. And understand, women who bleed 2 to 3 days, who don't have clots, who don't get anemic, who don't have any signs of PMS, tend to be much, much healthier. Now, I didn't say you don't bleed. I didn't say you don't have any blood. And I didn't say that because that's not healthy either. We can look at excess and deficiency as two sides of the same sort of health problem. If you're clotting, if you're bleeding 5, 6 days, if you're getting anemic, if you have pain, if you have mood swings, we can talk about that as excess. If you're not getting your period, that's deficiency. If you're bleeding 1 day, that's deficiency. So it's about balance. So let's start there. Let's start with that 3-day cycle. And if you're not bleeding at all, let's bring you to 2 to 3 days. And if you're bleeding 5 and 6 days, let's bring you to 2 to 3 days. I guarantee you, if you get nothing else from this show today, do that and you'll thank me for the rest of your life. Now, what's the big to-do about hormonal balance? Let's look into this a little bit. I'm going to try not to get it too technical, but even in the end, it doesn't, in a sense, matter. But I think that understanding creates compliance. That's the premise for this show. That if I take the time to get into this stuff, even beyond what you, in a sense, wanted to hear, you know, people are very oriented about, okay, fine, but what do I do? But you see, this is kind of a misnomer. What you do, meaning what your level of compliance is underpinned by your level of understanding. your level of compliance must have understanding behind it. This is why doctors tend to feel these issues in their own lives with more compliance. Why? Because they have more understanding. So don't be one of those people who simply wants to know what to do. Just give me the list of what to do. I don't really understand anything, and I don't really want to understand anything. I just want to know what to do. That stuff doesn't work. Because people that say that are not celebrating the process of health. The health journey is how you heal. The patient doctor, the I'm the consumer and I buy the supplement mentality, as far as regulating the indices of health, it's a sham. It works poorly. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. Look at the pictures and learn. Got a great article today. If you scroll to the top of the picture chart there, the Townsend article on estrogen. I'm going to try to get into some of this today. You're going to see estrogen. Is estrogen the good guy? Is estrogen the bad guy? How we've changed our mind about estrogen over the last 30 years. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And leaving the public in the middle of nowhere on it. And all we have to do is use our common sense. Okay, let's talk about the female cycle. Go to picture number 2 on the website. So you're on the website. You're on show. What is it? Show 209, 210. What is it? 211. Show. That's 211 hours. Get on the website. Picture number 2. Now, there's a graph of the woman's cycle. Notice that, ladies, whether you're postmenopausal, premenopausal, whether you're not even having your period, meaning you're 8 years old, your body's still doing this. Luteinizing hormone, follicular stimulating hormone, estrogen and progesterone. Estrogen has estradiol, estrone, and estriol. Estradiol is the one that we tend to look at because that's the very active hormone. When you measure it through the saliva. Do not measure it at your OBG and get it with the measurement that's got the protein attached to it. In other words, look it up yourself. Estrogen testing through the saliva. ZRT Labs, David Zava. He's a biochemist. He's up there in Oregon. He was one of the main proponents of measuring your estrogen through the saliva. Or your testosterone, or your DHEA, or your pregnenolone, or all these hormones. Complicated symphony, complicated dance between God's chemicals, which modern man, of course, is certain that he's capable of tampering with in a positive way for your health. Got to be careful with that. You'll see with this estrogen story. So, you're going to bleed in a phase, 1 to 28, 1 to 30, 1 to 31. What's your cycle? They're up at the top, day 1, day 2. Look at how the hormones rise and fall. So let's follow estrogen. Estrogen's that light blue one. Again, you're on the website. You're looking at picture number 2. Let's look at that light blue chart for the estrogen. So you see day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Now, just at about day 10, you can see your estrogen starting to rise. Why? Well, at that point, your body's going into the let's thicken the uterine lining and get it ready for Mr. Sperm that's going to impregnate Mrs. Egg. In some way, you see that heart there, appropriately stated, that heart around day 14. Right around there, you've got peak levels of estrogen, peak levels of luteinizing hormone. And this is about when you're ready to be impregnated in a 12-hour window. Remember, the sperm can live in that cervix for 5 days. So men, ladies, if you want to get pregnant, well, I should say if you don't want to get pregnant, if you're not there yet on the game, remember, if you've been penetrated day 9, day 10, just because that sperm's in you day 10 doesn't mean it's not alive and active and viable day 14. Lots of people get pregnant when they didn't plan to get pregnant because they don't understand. That sperm can stay alive a full 5 days, probably more with some people. So there's day 14. The uterine lining is good and thick. The estrogen levels are peaking. And then what you see after day 14 is the estrogen levels start decreasing and the progesterone levels start to rise, as the chart says, after ovulation. And it says if your progesterone levels are too low or your estrogen level was not detoxified, PMS results. Now there, beautiful chart there, picture number two. Beautiful chart. Because that's so true. And how we're going to unfold the story of estrogen today has so much to do with what? Who you are, how you define yourself as woman. And you can measure this health of this balance by the quality, quantity, duration of your period. So in Medici's better world, each year when you go to Kaiser Permanente for your physical exam, they ask you lots of questions about the quality of your period. Oh, my period, it's terrible. I'm down 3 days. I'm down a week out of every month. Bingo, there's your breast cancer, there's your ovarian cancer, there's your endometriosis, so on and so forth. Your problems begin there. Yeah, PMS around the time of my cycle, forget it. And yeah, you're 60 or 65, and you don't have a cycle anymore. Yes, you do. This is my point to you. If you're 75 years old, listen to this, because it's just as relevant as if you were 16. You really got to get that. So after we dump all that healthy, wonderful ovarian-produced estrogen into stimulating and thickening the uterine lining, then that estrogen production begins to decrease. Now, that estrogen, mind you, grows things. It just doesn't grow the lining of the uterus. It grows your breast. It grows your lips. It grows your muscle. Estrogen is testosterone, but for the female. So men want testosterone. The more testosterone, the bigger the man. Women want estrogen. The species prefers people who make more hormone. More hormone, bigger muscles, stronger people, so on and so forth. Better for the species. Let's get it right down to Darwinism here. Good. But, problem. Once we have imbalance, and again, this chart suggesting where imbalance begins, there's not another hormone called progesterone or the estrogen after it goes into the cell, after it stimulates the DNA mechanisms in the cell to produce the proteins that the estrogen stimulates, the metabolites of estrogen, which we're going to get into, the byproducts. Your cell takes the estrogen and poops out the metabolites of estrogen. If your body doesn't know what to do with those metabolites, then you start to get into trouble. So right from the beginning, I don't care what anybody tells you. It's your overall health, not your cruciferous vegetables. It's your overall health, not the indole carbonyl 3 tablets that you're taking. It's your overall health, the totality of your health, that will produce a more perfect feminine cycle, old or young. Now, we're going to break this down continually into specifics, but you have to go back to measure your health by the sanctity of your feminine cycle and apply all the basic tenets of health to make that cycle better. And that's the way you think of it. Don't let anyone in either industry, allopathy or in holistic medicine, take that away from you, because this is where you're going to have your downfall. And you'll see what I mean when we discuss indole carbonyl 3. I mean, it's almost laughable what both holistic and allopathic models do to natural mechanisms. They hack them up one way or the other. And you'll see, it's classic. And I'll explain. So there's that cycle. Now, talk a little more specifically here. I want you to go to, I think, the best picture here. Go to picture number six. Go to picture number six. Healthy estrogen metabolites. They're going to tell you, if you look at that picture, oh my God, those chemical formulas, you already have a headache. That's a shame. Has the cult of science defeated you? How many people have bad memories of high school chemistry? That was the cult of science defeating you. High school chemistry should have been, it should have been a birthday party. Healthy estrogen metabolites. Look to the extreme right. 2-methoxyestradiol, 2-methoxyestrone. That's saying that the metabolites of estradiol, 2-methoxyestradiol, 2-methoxyestrone, are good for you. They help protect you. So they say estrogen is protective against cancer. But then they say, then there's bad metabolites in the black with the red circle, the bad sign, 4-hydroxyestradiol, 16-alpha-hydroxyestradiol, 4-hydroxyestrone, 16-hydroxyestrone, 16-alpha-hydroxyestrone. Those are the bad estrogens as your body metabolizes active estradiol. 17-hydroxysteroid, well, that's the hormone. As your body metabolizes healthy estradiol, it will produce bad estrogen and good estrogen. Meaning estrogen that we've linked, we think we've linked it to that which can promote a carcinogenic event, a DNA mutation. And then the good stuff. And in the balance of the bad stuff and good stuff, we say you have estrogen balance or estrogen imbalance. Now, I'm going to keep going back to that. And I'm going to show you off this central concept, all the adjuncts that have evolved over the last 20 years, which, of course, have crashed on their head even today. So the public has a good right to be confused. If you're confused, you have a good right to be confused. But really, as I continually repeat in this show, go to your common sense meter and come to the same conclusion that I've come to exploring all of this. I'm the guy that tries all the nutritional supplements to see what does what. Stuff them into people's mouths by the horde. And in the end, yes, you can get some help, but it's these deeper systems that really reflect the beauty of these complex, it's a deeper analysis that reflects the beauty of these complex mechanisms. You have to have enough understanding of it. So yes, you're going to produce good estrogen and bad estrogen. Now that bad estrogen goes through a cycle. Let's look at the estrogen cycle. And I've got a wonderful picture here. Go all the way down to picture number 25. And blow it up a little bit. That's Control Plus on your PC. And you can spread it out on your Mac the same way. Whatever you're looking at. Hopefully, you're looking and listening and you're on the computer. If you're not, bravo to you. I don't know how you can pull this off without a computer, but I'm glad you try. If you're driving, of course, just listen and catch the essential truth here. All right. Look at that picture now. That was picture, 26? Picture 26. Okay. Picture 25, All right. Blow that up. Look at the word bloodstream. Bloodstream. You can't miss that. Circulating estrogen pool. That's your estrogen circulating in the blood. It's going to be conjugated, meaning bound up, as the liver pulls it out of circulation, when it's time for the liver to pull it out of circulation. We say the liver will conjugate the estrogen. It'll bind it up with something. The liver will do a thing that the liver does to bind up the estrogen or conjugate it. Or that estrogen will be circulating unconjugated. Or that estrogen will be protein bound. Don't get the headache yet. When you get your hormone levels measured at your OBG, that is all protein-bound estrogen. That is not as effective as measuring free estrogen. And free estrogen is measured much, much more effectively through the saliva. Thus, the Zava Labs, ZRT Labs, go to Canary Club. You can do it yourself. You should have a relationship with your hormonal cycle without thinking that it runs the show. The hormonal levels are just a reflection of your health. Don't think about it the other way around. Oh no, my hormonal levels are imbalanced. How do I balance my hormonal levels? Don't think that way. Just use your hormonal levels as an indice of, are you sleeping? Are you eating? Are you relaxing? Are you stressing too much? So on and so forth. Think of it that way. So you've got all this estrogen circulating in your bloodstream, and that blood goes over to the liver. And that liver conjugates the estrogens and dumps them out in the bile. Well, the bile's on the way to the toilet bowl. In the meantime, a couple of things happen. The deconjugation, look at that circle there. This is picture 25. Look at the circle, the centerpiece of which says liver. Look at that circle. And go down to the, on that circle, you can't miss the circle, in the 7 o'clock position, 8 p.m. position, deconjugation hydrolysis of estrogen metabolites in the intestinal tract. Guess what? Your probiotic bacteria recycle your estrogen. They throw more good estrogen back in. So just before you poo-poo all your estrogen out, conjugated by the liver, if your liver conjugates it. That's another issue. We're going to get to that. If the liver conjugates it, can the liver move it through the bile ducts? We're going to get to that. But if the liver does conjugate it, because the liver's got what the liver needs to bind it up, take the bad estrogen out of the bloodstream, can the liver then dump it into the bile? And once it's in the bile, does the bile flow? Once the bile flows, the conjugated estrogen that the body wants to get out because it's otherwise toxic will do what? It'll start to go out towards the toilet bowl. That is, of course, if you're not constipated. You see how it works together? Isn't that marvelous? You see what the issue is with people in trying to understand what to do? I just bought a supplement to balance my estrogen. I just bought something to recycle my estrogen back to the healthy estrogen. Against what? Does your liver conjugate? Against what? Do you move bile through? Against what? Do you poop it out daily, twice a day? Against what? Do you have the probiotic bacteria to deconjugate and cycle back that estrogen into the blood? You have to have the basics of health. You have to work, put your time, your money, and your energy into the basics of your health so that you can balance the estrogen cycle. Don't let understanding particulate processes, pull pieces out, and then say, we've solved it because we've solved this piece. Do you get that? I think I probably said that better than I've ever said it. Bravo to me. I can scream less and cruise more. All right, so big statements here. Estrogen, good. Estrogen, big muscles, ladies. Bigger breasts, bigger lips. Healthier babies. Good stuff. Tighter skin. Good stuff. Tighter collagen. Good stuff. Estrogen imbalance, so the metabolites of estrogen are not conjugated and sent into the toilet. Bad. Thus the word, ladies, estrogen dominance. If you're one of those females with more estrogen receptors, African Americans, Latinos, tend to be very estrogenic. That's healthy. You want that. But if you add all the garbage in and poor liver metabolism, so on and so forth, doesn't matter who you are, what race, color, or creed, if you've got that tendency, you're going to go into an estrogen-dominant metabolism, and that estrogen and the ill effects are not going to be countered by your general health at all, and you're going to suffer. And this is what we've got everywhere. Did a Skype with a woman from Brazil a couple of weeks ago. Done in vivo. I mean, she's done the in vitro fertilizations now 4 times. She injects chemicals made from hell into her abdomen because she wants that baby. These idiot doctors are feeding her estrogen. And you know what the price tag on these things is? $40, $50, $60, $100,000. It's not just Brazil, it's everywhere. America does it too. They pump women like estrogen balloons to produce babies. And it all goes back to, if you check these women out, long before they thought of getting pregnant, they had faulty cycles. They were the ones that clotted. They were the ones that had mood swings. It's just so obvious. So you're not going to be like that. You're going to get this stuff down straight. And it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 90 years old, this is relevant to you. Truly relevant. Just as relevant as if you were 16. Because your body's still making hormones. It doesn't make as much. But the balance in trade has still got to have balance. So, in the blood are all these estrogens. Estrogen is good, but their metabolites can be, perhaps, bad. Well, so can creatinine, so can uric acid, so can ammonia. Your body defecates all of its stuff into the blood because you have to remove it. Normal waste removal has to be upgraded and qualified, meaning you've got to be able to get the stuff out. That's not a bad thing. Estrogen's not bad, but after you use it, you've got to get its metabolites out. Conjugate it in the liver, move the bile ducts, send it into the toilet. So what did you learn? You learned, number one, suppose your gallbladder's congested. Suppose you don't know what bile is. Suppose you don't move bile. Suppose you've never done a coffee enema. Suppose you don't have any clue what an olive oil flush is. Suppose you don't have 2 or 3 good defecations a day. Suppose you aren't breastfed, or suppose your probiotics from years of antibiotic abuse just are not working. So in Medici's Better World, we do assays on the intestinal tract. We do assays on biliary flow. We do assays on the phase 1 and phase 2 enzyme productions that really drive conjugation. In a better world, the blood would be moving through the liver at a perfusion rate that would allow the liver and the job it has to do it more optimally. Upgrade liver, upgrade bile flow, upgrade those probiotics, upgrade defecation. Now you're thinking. Now you're understanding. And what do you get for that? A better period. And what do you get for that? Much, much better chances of never seeing a cancerous day, endometriosis, polycystic ovaries, fibroids, fertility problems, PMS, bleeding out, hysterectomies due to hemorrhaging around menopause. That's what you get if you understand the basics. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. If you want to understand more about the basics and you have a health concern, give us a call at that number, 714-850-1007. Yes, I'm going to toot my own horn. If you're good at something, tell people. I'm good at figuring out these puzzles. I love to figure out these puzzles. And if I can get a little compliance and you can come in with the right attitude, you can have your health miracle. Okay. Now take a look at this estrogen metabolites, the ratio of 16-OH, 16-hydroxy to 2-hydroxy estrogen. Take a look at this more specific argument now. And we're going to go now to a couple of pictures here. We're going to go to picture number 9. Let's go to picture number 9. Estrogen metabolism, cancer, and indole carbonyl 3. Indole-carbinol 3 is a nutritional product. Well, actually, it became a nutritional product. And what it was supposed to do, and I don't want to focus on I3C, which is as it was sold and still is sold. What I want to focus on is on the left there when it says estrogen metabolites. Look at 16-alpha-hydroxyestrone. You can't miss it. It's right up at the top there. 16-alpha-hydroxyestrone. And look at 2-hydroxyestrone. And look at to the right of 16-hydroxyestrone and 4-hydroxyestrone. Demonstrated to be carcinogens and are thought to be responsible for the possible carcinogenic effects of estrogen. There's your bad estrogen. And then, of course, there's 2-hydroxyestrone. There's always a good guy and a bad guy. There's always a terrorist and a hero. It always works this way. There's always the bad thing that's going to get you and the good thing that's going to save you. Think of your day out there driving the car. The bad guy that's going to get you and the seatbelt that's going to save you, protect you. Think of that accident where your car is wrecked and there is that good guy called the insurance company that's going to pay the damages. I mean, we sell this mentality morning, noon, and night, 24/7. How much of your mental energy is on this bad guy, good guy thing? We even do it with women's hormones. Now I'm laughing here. I'm tongue in cheek here because what you're going to do later, I've got an article up top that I think was very well written out of the Townsend Letter. The Townsend Letter, you can pick up the Townsend Letter in any health food store, and it's pretty good articles. Peer reviewed, meaning somebody reads them so your average bozo can't publish in them. And there's a great article basically saying all this stuff about the 16:2 ratio and how there's bad and good estrogen, and if the estrogen balance is off, you're going to get... This guy's saying it's bunk. It never, ever added up. Now, not everyone's going to agree with that. But I put this article at the top there, the Townsend article on estrogen, just to show you how insane this is. And all you have to do, though, is this. This is what's not insane. Again, I'm going to drive the point home. You're 24 years old. You're 32 years old. You're 40 years old. Is your period 3 days? Is it pain-free? Is it PMS-free? Is it mood swing-free? Is it back pain-free? Does the blood just come out? Do you not have any fatigue before, during, and after the period? And really, is your period a pleasure? Are you that person waiting? I've had women over the years, over 20 years, sit there praying for the day that cycle will end. We give young teenage girls pills now to stop their cycles because then they don't have to deal with the pain of those cycles. Have we gone insane? You answer that. So there is a perception out there that says 16-alpha-hydroxyestrone is bad and 2-hydroxyestrone is good. And, of course, where we're going with this is there is a nutritional product. Indole-carbinol 3 increases the urinary excretion of 2-hydroxyestrone to 16, increases the ratio, meaning it puts more 2-hydroxy in and takes more 16 out. And in that ratio, that's more in the favor of health. And that's what the supplement did. And there, picture 17. There's one of many companies that sell this indole-carbinol 3. And, of course, you can get indole-carbinol 3. This is just a chemical. It's found in broccoli. It's found in the cruciferous vegetables. So we can say the cruciferous vegetables have a protective influence against estrogenic forms of cancer, cancer that has estrogen imbalance bases. And that's the way the industry works. Now, whether this is clear or not, whether it really has any bearing in reality or not, whether indole-carbinol 3 is really going to help you, this is where you're pot-shotting, and that's the point of the show. Don't pot-shot. You can't take these systems and isolate sentences and systems and come in there and really affect outcome by tweaking one of 15,000 equations in an enormously complex system. It's like looking at a movie that's a bomb. You know, think of that movie that bombed, that dump of a movie that bombed. The $200 million, remember Waterworld? I don't want to say that was a bomb, but I'll use it as an example. Waterworld, Costner's Waterworld. I don't really think it was a bomb. I thought it was a great attempt. It just didn't work. But the point is, you know, they said Apocalypse Now was a bomb in its day because it spent like $60 million on the film, and it never got its money back, and it was a bomb. You don't go into a bomb and change one line in the script and then say that's going to fix the bomb. And when people say, well, we're not saying indole carbonyl 3 is going to fix everything, but wouldn't you want to light a candle rather than curse the darkness? Wouldn't you want to do that? You see, and these are the rationalizations for taking complex mechanisms and changing one line in them. And then the mentality is, well, let's change 20 lines by putting in 20 supplements. And this is the problem. You should buy the supplement that moves the liver. You should buy the herbal supplement that makes sure you're getting the bile. We have great herbs, turmeric, milk thistle, coin grass, from great companies, Premier Research Labs being one of a number of them, that are going to do what? Increase biliary excretion, increase the production of bile by the hepatocyte. That's where you want to spend your money. When you reduce that to, well, indole carbonyl 3 will convert more of the 16:2 ratio in the favor of health, this is where you're in the law of diminishing returns. Now, lots of people might not like that statement. I, of course, don't care. I would be glad to give indole carbonyl 3 to you, and I'm not after indole carbonyl 3. I'm sure this was well-intentioned. But after two decades, after a decade of using this stuff and watching females who are estrogenic really not have any response, you got to wonder what we're up to here. So, hope you're getting my point. There's lots of points to be gotten here. So, 16-alpha-hydroxyestrone, 4-hydroxyestrone. We think these things promote mutations in the DNA, that they're carcinogenic and otherwise. In other words, they cause growth, uncontrolled growth of tissue. And 2-hydroxyestrone, you could make more of that and less of the other, and you're better off. And that's sort of the concept here. So we've got this concept of the 16:2 ratio. I'm going to go back after this in a moment when we look at the top with that Townsend article in estrogen. Let's bring in another concept, okay? Another concept, picture number 4. Go to picture number 4. Estrogen and xenoestrogens. Ladies, your period's off. Ladies, you have endometriosis. Ladies, you can't get pregnant. Ladies, you're 70 years old and you don't have any estrogen, or you've heard and gotten bad news, or you're scared you're going to get bad news. Get into the understanding of the estrogen and the xenoestrogen. Here's a great picture of estrogen binding to a receptor to send messages to the cell. Again, this is picture number 4. On the left, estrogen binding to the receptor to send a message to the cell. That's the normal thing. The message to the cell is do the good things that estrogen does. But it's got to be in balance. Now, if you've got analogs of estrogen, the xenoestrogens, which are everywhere, cosmetics, the foods, the plastics, the air, the water, the hairspray, I mean, 15 gazillion exposures each day. And the question, of course, is are you minimizing them? Have you really made your life, relatively speaking, chemical-free? You ever talk to these people that wash their clothes in Tide? Tide, you know? Or All, remember All, A-L-L? I mean, I can't even be around these people. It's not them. It's the smell off the clothes. You ever sit next to somebody with one of these perfumes from hell? And you take one whiff and you get a headache? That's not weakness. That's sensitivity to bad things that we're putting on our bodies and we are desensitized to until our bodies give us a message that it's time to start listening. Here's a little benign tumor to give you a hint that that hairspray you're putting on each day is really not good for you. These xenoestrogens compete with estrogen receptor sites. They compete with estrogen receptor sites. So you've got these xenoestrogens binding to estrogen receptor sites. And what does that mean? A thicker uterus. The uterus is going to get so thick that it can't drain its blood out. The liver is going to be overloaded with the responsibility of conjugating these xenoestrogens and getting them out of the body. In other words, in the balance of trade, if you're living down near Long Beach or anywhere near it, or if you're working at LAX, or if you're in places of high exposure, or if you're in places of low exposure but your job gives you high exposure, your liver can't handle the xenoestrogenic effect, and your body becomes an estrogen time bomb. Guess where, and here's the point of the show, guess where you're going to see that at 16? Guess where you're going to see that at 24? Guess where you're going to see that at 32? Guess where you're going to see that at 40 and 50 and 60 and 70? With your periods. So if you're 70, ask yourself what your period was like when you were 40. Because you know what? Unless you've done some dramatic shifts in your health, you're the same person. There's a slant on you if you're 60 or over or 50 or over, postmenopausal. And this is my point. The central contention of the show is we ought to be looking at the female cycle as the premier indice of health. If you're bleeding 7 days because it takes that much blood loss to get the garbage out of you, you're going to go blood deficient, and your bones are going to compensate for that, and then you're going to be around screaming about your osteoporosis at 50 or 60 years old. I mean, there are so many ramifications of imbalances in the female cycle. I could do a whole other show on that, not going to. So you've got to bring in this xenoestrogen concept, and you've got to limit yourself. You've got to limit yourself to exposure after you identify the infinite number of xenoestrogens out there. Let's go to picture 26. I want to give you another insight into estrogen metabolism, and then we'll move on. That's picture 26. Transported in the blood, mainly with plasma albumin, that's the protein, and globulins, meaning that the estrogens and even progesterones are protein-bound, the liver conjugates the estrogens to form glucuronides, and sulfates, and about one-fifth of these conjugated products is excreted in the bile. The rest of it goes out through the urine. Isn't that interesting? The liver converts the potent estrogens, estradiol and estrone, into the impotent estriol. There's this process that the liver assumes to help, and actually in reality, okay, to just about control your estrogen metabolism. The variability of estrogenic excretion through the kidney is more minimal. There's less variability in the kidney. There's not an absolute number in everybody. In other words, everybody's kidney plays about the same role relative to everybody's liver, plays very variable roles. It's much more variability, which is why the liver's so much more important. But all total, therefore, diminished liver function, thus they go to liver function for the reason I just stated. Therefore, diminished liver function increases the activity of estrogens in the body, sometimes causing hyperestrogenism, or what we would call estrogen dominance. Now, there's another way of saying that. Okay, perfect. Now, look at picture 28. Again, everyone is exposed to hormones from our environment. Xenoestrogens and phytoestrogens are chemicals from our environment. Our bodies recognize these chemicals as estrogen. Perfect. If you didn't understand anything, if you didn't want to understand anything, if you were a busy movie producer with no time to even listen to a radio show, what would you do? What would you tell your friend at holiday dinner next week? What would you tell your friend at Father's Day dinner in a week or two, right? What would you say? You'd say, hey, if your period's that painful, fix it now because something's wrong. and don't pay later. Pay now when it's easy to fix it. And that's all you'd have to understand. You just have to understand, in the layman's sense, that when these balances are off, you're going to know about it in your period. Now, there's one angle on it. That's the chemical angle on it. Again, the probiotics, moving the bile, making sure the liver gets what the liver needs. All these herbs, from milk thistle to turmeric to the B vitamins to especially B6. Anything you've ever heard about liver, meaning what the liver needs to function in terms of its chemical responsibilities, its conjugative responsibilities. And then, of course, what the liver needs and the gallbladder ducts need to move the bile out. The probiotics, that they're there. Defecation, that it's there. That you're minimizing your exposure to these xenoestrogens. How? Don't eat them. Don't expose yourself to them. Put the purifiers, the air systems in. Clean the water. Don't use plastics. I mean, this is easy stuff. That research you can do. Why listen to a show? If that was what it was about, I certainly wouldn't do the show. Anybody can get that off internet. What you can't get is a perspective. And that perspective is measure your health by your period. Old or young. Next step, the structural component. This is fascinating. This you're not going to hear. You've got the PMS issues. You've got concerns about your uterus, your ovaries, cystic, fertility issues, Rolf, R-O-L-F. She had it figured out a long time ago, and it revolved around the infamous psoas muscle, something you've all heard. I hope at least half of my listeners know. I wish. Well, I hope that if I say psoas muscle, you already have it figured out. Go to picture number 21. If you haven't gotten figured out because you're new to the show, welcome. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This is not about supplements. It's not about data accumulation. It's not this ridiculous format of peer-reviewed research shows that this supplement can fix the problem. It's about concepts that may include herbs, and rightly so, but it's about concepts that create the totality of the health approach. Picture 21, in green, the psoas muscle. It's the hip flexor. It comes off the spine and connects to your leg. Run, run, kick, kick, walk, walk. The psoas muscle is your hip flexor. It's the reason you can kick your soccer ball and run a sprint. When that muscle, and this was Rolf's point, go to picture 18. Look at picture 18. When that muscle, guy on the top, healthy psoas, guy on the bottom, unhealthy psoas. Belly comes out, neck comes forward, mid-thoracic spine starts to curve. When that psoas tightens, it decreases the space in your abdominal cavity, meaning it crushes your uterus. It crushes your ovaries. Does it send you screaming to 911? No. This is all a little bit more subtle. A little bit more subtle than going to ER screaming. But not so subtle, because it will destroy the cycle. You can't compress the uterus. Things are tight in there. Go to picture 15. Picture 15. That's a picture of a woman from the side. It's a sagittal cut. Now look at that sort of like bluish cartilaginous structure there on the right side down low. That's your pubic bone, ladies. If you go behind your pubic bone, that's where your bladder is, that empty space there. If you go above the bladder, it looks like a big piece of like kind of like bacon in there with a little slit hole in the middle. That's your uterus. Behind your uterus is your rectum. Ladies, when you get what? When you're in your cycle, when you're in your last days, days 24, 25, how many of you get constipated? How many of you get diarrhea? How many of you notice as that uterus gets thick, right, just before you bleed it out, it affects your bowels? Well, you're looking at why. There's no room in there. That uterus is squashed naturally. There's not a lot of space. And what happens is, as that psoas muscle displaces forward and crushes it more, it will seriously affect, dramatically affect the efficiency, the physiological perfection of that female cycle. There are structural reasons, not just biochemical reasons, but structural reasons that have to be respected here. On top of which, look at picture number 16. Picture 16. You see picture 16? There's a coronal cut on the uterus. That the thick muscular areas, the uterus, they cut the top off. That sort of knobby part at the end, that's the cervix. And what those pincers are on, pulling apart, that's the vaginal canal. This is picture 16. You see the yellow? That's connective tissue. The uterus, the ovaries, the cervix, the vaginal canal are held in space. They're held in the abdominal cavity by connective tissue. That connective tissue has a tone to it. I constantly talk about Nali, those yoga exercises. Right. You're going to say Kegel. I'm going to say forget Kegel and get into the real ones to create tone there so that the uterus gets flushed every single day. So when you pull up in the vaginal canal, up in the rectal walls, up in the urethra, the uterus gets pumped. The cervix gets pumped. So that if you have structural integrity, you have tone. If you have structural integrity, there's a washboard effect. If you take the structural integrity and you combine it with the chemical integrity, and then you measure the efficacy of these structural processes with these chemical processes, with these emotional processes, right? It's a lot of emotion locked into that uterine area. If you're with the wrong guy, you know this, ladies, that uterus and cervix freeze up. If you're with the right guy in the right relationship, that uterus and that cervix relax. Have you ever palpated your own cervix? The cervix moves around. So you've got your emotional component, your structural component, you've got your chemical component, you've got the insight into it, and if you still understood nothing, all you'd have to do is ask yourself, is my period a breeze? Because if your period's a breeze, fertility will be a breeze. Menopause will be a breeze. Old age will be a breeze. And that's how God intended it. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. If you can't figure it out, make the call. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.